As we continue on shutdown here in South Central PA due to this ongoing coronavirus outbreak with Covenant OPC not meeting publicly for worship, let us nevertheless bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord and open our ears to hear his word in our homes, that we might sanctify the Sabbath day, that we might hear what our God has to say to us, and that we might bring our prayers before him and sing his praises, resting this day in the finished work of our Savior Jesus, who has put away all of our sins. Let's open our family worship today with the words of Psalm 42, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of God. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let us pray. Lord, we thirst and pant for you in these distressing times. We gather before you and long for you to answer our prayers and deliver us out of our present trouble. Yet we know that you are the God of our salvation, the God of steadfast love to us in Jesus, your Son. And so we praise you, even in the midst of trouble, remembering that your faithfulness to us never changes, and that you have given to us an abiding hope in the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. We come before you now in his name, asking that you would encourage us by your word and spirit. Amen. Let's continue giving our ear to God's word, looking at our New Testament reading this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Again, the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you as the one true and living God. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions. We thank you that Jesus, your eternal Son, came in the flesh and bore all our sins and sorrows upon himself. We praise you that because Jesus did this, even suffering the pains of your wrath and of death itself, we therefore have strong comfort and hope in his resurrection, knowing that though we share in Christ's sufferings throughout this present evil age, we also will share in Christ's resurrection in the glorious age to come. As we come before you, we confess that even in times of distress, our sinful hearts continue to rebel against you. We are easily anxious and afraid. We are slow to trust you and to believe your goodness to us. We see how insecure the world around us is, how helpless we are to secure our lives for ourselves. And in our remaining unbelief, we forget your promises and how secure each of us is in your sovereign and loving hand. As we fail to believe your goodness, our hearts chase idols, believing the lie that perhaps they will bring us pleasure and security. We confess, Lord, that our unbelief appears also in our relationships with others. As we fail to trust you and so become anxious, we become impatient with one another and speak harshly to one another. We become quick to anger, slow to listen, and we fail to love as you command. Forgive us, Lord, these and all our many sins. Look upon Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and so pardon us, Lord, for we look to Jesus as our only hope for your salvation. As you look upon us in your Son, hear also our prayers for deliverance from our present distress, O Lord. Protect us from the evil one. Bring a swift end to the virus spreading across the globe, and protect us and our loved ones from falling severely ill. Bless and protect all the medical workers seeking to care for the sick and develop new treatments, and give wisdom to all the government and public health officials seeking to minimize loss of life. Provide for all those who are suffering material loss as a result of the shutdown. Heal the sick, and comfort all those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Keep safe all those who serve in harm's way, particularly in law enforcement and the military. Be with all of our students as they adjust to remote schoolwork from home, and help their parents as they adjust to changing circumstances. Bless the work of the church, and use this time to save many people for yourself around the world. Cause many men, women, and children to recognize their need for a Savior, hear the good news about Jesus, believe upon him, and be saved. Help us to be a faithful witness within our community, and add to our numbers at Covenant those who are being saved when we are able to meet again for worship. Cause us also to recognize the seriousness of sin, on account of which the wrath of God is coming, and so put our sins to death, and grow in our zeal for godliness and righteousness in our own hearts and lives. We remember also the prayer which our Savior taught to his disciples, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I encourage you now to pause the recording and take a moment to respond to the Lord in song, singing to him such songs, hymns, and psalms as you desire. Having sung to the Lord, let us now turn our attention to God's Word, our passage this morning from the Psalms, as we look at Psalm 13, continuing our survey through the Psalms while we are unable to meet together for worship. Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. This fourfold cry repeated in verses 1 and 2 of the psalm, this cry echoes on the lips of believers throughout the scriptures, this cry of, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? This cry echoes throughout the pages of scripture in the minds and hearts of God's people, and I suspect on many of our hearts and minds now, in the middle of this present situation where for yet another month we are going to be unable to meet publicly for worship, and as this situation with a global pandemic seems to perhaps be going from bad to worse, as we see people dying and the numbers going up and up. How long, O Lord? How long? And as we look at the psalm here, familiar patterns that I hope you are beginning to see in the Psalms of crying out to the Lord in present distress and yet remembering God's character and salvation. These are present here in Psalm 13 as well. And yet it seems that the emphasis here in the psalm is one of an honest and yet confident crying out to God when in the midst of the present circumstance, it appears to David that God is not answering. And as you consider the words of Psalm 13 in your homes this morning, I encourage you to use this psalm as an opportunity yourself to be crying out to the Lord with both honesty and also confidence in Jesus. This is what we see in the psalm here from David, that on the one hand, David wrestles very honestly, crying out to God, pleading with God to hear him, confessing that it appears to David that God is not doing these things. David cries out to the Lord not to just offer to God what he knows is the right answer, but honestly wrestling within his mind and heart with his present distress. And yet we see also that David does this not from a position of utter despair, but from a position of faith, looking to God as his Savior and knowing that whatever his present circumstances are, however long it takes the Lord to answer, he knows that God does answer, and that God's answer is a word of salvation. So I want us to look at this first in verses 1 to 4, David's honest plea to God, and then second, looking at David's confidence in the Lord in verses 5 and 6. David repeats here in verse 1, four times the question, how long? Verse 1, twice, how long, O Lord? How long will you hide? Verse 2, how long must I take counsel in my soul? And how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And this repetition of the question, how long, this desperate cry of the soul to God, it suggests that not only is David in great distress, where he perceives that God is forgetting him in verse 1, that God is hiding his face, and for God in Scripture, for God to hide his face, that is for God to remove his blessing, to not be acting in his saving power. For God to hide his face is for a person to be lost. And so David is speaking almost from despair here in verses 1 and 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long must it just be me and my sorrowful thoughts, David is saying. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long will I be laid low? So David's situation is one of great distress. As with many of the Psalms, we aren't given details of exactly which time in David's life caused him to write this. And that's not the point. The point isn't the particular circumstance that David was going through. Rather, the point is that this is a typical circumstance that God's people go through, which elicits this response of crying out to God. This is not unique. David's being in distress, wondering if God hears him, wondering if God is going to save him and deliver him. That's not a unique one-time event in the life of David, or indeed in the life of God's people, or in your life. This is a repeated occurrence that happens when God, in his loving care, brings us through times of great trouble and distress. And you notice from the question, repeated, how long, O Lord? The distress is not only severe in its magnitude, it is also severe in its duration. This is a prolonged period of distress in which David finds himself. And perhaps you are feeling this way a bit now. Lord, how long will this go on? How long must I struggle with anxious fears? How long will this suffering persist? Ultimately, this is the cry of the saints in Revelation chapter 6, as Revelation 6 sets the pattern of God's judgments on the nations, building and leading to God's final ultimate judgment at the return of Christ. And the cry of the martyrs, of the saints, is, how long, O Lord? This is the cry of the Christian. Is this also your cry in the midst of distress? It's an appropriate response to God. It is good and it is right when God leads you to low points in life where you are afraid, where you do not know what God is doing, where it seems as if God is hiding himself from you and not blessing you, not answering your prayers. It is good and right, even if those times go on for a long while, for you to take this cry and make it yours to the Lord. Lord, how long? How long will you forget me? How long will you hide from me? How long until you answer my prayers, Lord? The enemy that David speaks of in verse 2, we don't know, again, exactly the circumstances, so we don't know particularly what this enemy is, but as this psalm would lead us to Jesus, who himself is the great king who poured his own heart out to the Lord, most notably in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. How long shall our enemy be exalted over us? We know that for us now on the other side of Christ, the great enemy remaining is death itself. And collectively, we are staring at death with this global pandemic. People are dying. There is fear that when people get sick, they will die. Lord, how long will our enemy be exalted over us? This is a good and a right cry for you to take to the Lord. And as David asks the Lord, how long will this distress go on? He pleads with God. Consider me, verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. You notice here there's no hint of sinful rebellion in David's heart. David is not concluding from his suffering that God somehow hates him or has left him for good. David still knows that the Lord is his God, but he pleads with him, consider and answer. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Verse 3. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Pleads with God. God is the God of his salvation. And so he's appealing to God. Lord, don't let my enemies rejoice. It's in effect saying, show yourself true that you will save me, that you will preserve my life. And this is also the plea of the Christian. This is the plea of every soul in distress. In the midst of our cries of, how long, O Lord, will you permit evil to triumph? How long will you permit death to rule? How long will you permit this current scary situation with a virus going around? The plea then turns to the Lord and says, consider and answer, lest our enemies rejoice over us. And the Lord has answered. This is where David goes in verses 5 and 6. And so, on the one hand, I want to ask you, are you wrestling honestly with the Lord about your present circumstance? Do you take your fears? Do you take your times of despair and of sadness and grief? Do you take those to the Lord and wrestle honestly with him about the things that are going on in your heart and your mind? We see this here in Psalm 13, and this is all over the Psalms. This is a good and right response as you walk with your God to speak with him honestly. He knows your heart and your thoughts, and you gain nothing from trying to put on a good face for God. But rather, you should pray and speak honestly with him. But we do so also from a perspective of faith, that he is the Lord our God, and we look to what he has done in Jesus as the reason to have confidence in him, even as we lament, even as we say, how long, O Lord? And so in the midst of this present trouble, I ask you to consider verses 5 and 6 and consider the Lord's answer that he gives to David and to us, and to examine your heart, not only as to if you are walking with God honestly, but also if you are doing so trusting in his sovereign mercies and faithfulness and love to you in his Son, Jesus. David, coming out of his present distress, and you remember that this is not a one-time rip the Band-Aid off distress. This has been some long period of time in which David feels like the Lord is not answering him. And yet David, in verse 5, says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. And so here David remembers that his trust is not in himself or in his circumstances. He remembers that his trust is in God's steadfast love and in God's salvation. Verse 5. And David looks at how he has trusted in God's steadfast love, which has been demonstrated to him in the past. And then David concludes that he will, in the future, rejoice in God's salvation. David is making a statement of faith. Even though David's experience is one of, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? He remembers that he's trusted in God's steadfast love, that God's steadfast love has not changed. And so he knows in the future he will rejoice in God's salvation, that in the future he will sing to the Lord because God has dealt bountifully with him. And this is what you are to see also as you examine your present life and family and circumstance. God has shown you his steadfast love in his Son, the Lord Jesus. We read earlier in 2 Corinthians 1 of how the sufferings we have now are, in one sense, simply sharing in Christ's sufferings. Christ himself, the eternal Son of God, who loved us so much that he took on our human nature and bore our sins and sorrows, even suffering death itself, and that death being under the wrath of God. In the person and the work of Jesus, God has shown you his steadfast love. God has shown you his salvation. And more than that, I am sure that all of you listening to this, you can remember particular times in your life where God has made this very real to you, that God has delivered you and dealt bountifully with you and blessed you, as David remembers here in verse 6 of the psalm. And so even though perhaps today the cry of your heart is, Lord, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? This plea, which is good and right to make to the Lord, must always be done alongside a confident faith in the Lord Jesus, remembering that God's steadfast love does not change. God's love to you does not change. God's love to you will never change as you believe in the Lord Jesus. And you will sing to the Lord and praise him. And this hope is a dual hope. It is a hope on the one hand that in this life and in this present evil age, God will deliver you. God will get you through this. And it is also a confident future hope that whatever happens in this present evil age, God has given to you the hope of resurrection life with Jesus in the kingdom of God. And so I ask you, as you wrestle with God about the difficulties and the distresses in our life at the present time, are you remembering also God's steadfast love to you in Jesus? Are you believing that God will get you through this? Are you believing that God, in fact, will save you, both in the sense of delivering you from this present evil and in the sense of delivering you into the resurrection with Jesus? You see, in Jesus, God has given you both. And God's character does not change. If there's anything we are learning in these present times, it is that the world around us can change in an instant. But God does not change. And brothers and sisters, God's love to you does not change. God's faithfulness to you does not change. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is a certain and sure hope. No matter how long it might seem that God takes to answer your prayers or to deliver you, Jesus died for you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father pleading his wounds for you. And God looks upon you covered in the blood of Jesus. And God looks on you and he sees his perfect Son. And he loves you. And he does not treat you according to your sins. He does not hide his face from you. And God will deliver you out of all your present distress. Go to your God. Remember that he is the God of your salvation. And trust firmly in his mercies to you, in Christ Jesus, his Son, even as you wrestle with the present evil age. Let us pray. Lord, we trust in your steadfast love to us in your Son, Jesus. We rejoice in your salvation and praise you that our lives are secure in your loving care. We thank you for the hope of resurrection, that even death itself will never triumph over us, because Jesus defeated death and lives forevermore. O Lord, we are in distress and cry out to you, how long? Will you forget us forever? Arise, O God, and deliver us from the sufferings of this present time, and give to each of us patient confidence in your mercy, power, and grace, knowing that because of Jesus, you have saved us, will save us from this present evil, and will ultimately save us from death itself when we enter into the resurrection. Amen.